Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here. It looks like we have a nice, cozy audience. And I would like to think that the fee ordinance that I'll be talking about today is actually a success. So, but before I get started, I'd also like to acknowledge Dr. Linda Bosma here in the audience, who's also our evaluator and author in the presentation, and a special acknowledgement to Dr. Rob Parker, an alcohol policy researcher, who has conducted crime data analyses resulting from this ordinance, but unfortunately can't be here today. I have nothing to disclose. This is a map of Alameda County, and for those of you who aren't familiar, Alameda County is just to the east of San Francisco and includes cities of Oakland and Berkeley. The fee ordinance applies to just the unincorporated region of Alameda County, which is encircled there. And it includes a population of about 150,000 people. These are the type of alcohol licenses that are affected by this ordinance: all eating and drinking establishments, convenience stores such as 7-Eleven, all dance halls, cocktail lounges, beer and wine liquor stores, neighborhood specialty food markets, retail, all retail sales establishments, including the large grocery stores, and gas stations. The only types of businesses that are excluded from the ordinance are wineries, catering businesses, and bed and breakfast licenses. And at the time that this ordinance was adopted, there was a total of 147 licenses. This is the purpose of the ordinance: to ensure compliance with performance standards that are listed in the ordinance, to impose a fee to recover the costs of enforcement, outlet inspections, and responsible beverage service training, known as RBS, to provide that alcoholic beverage sale commercial activities are not the source of undue public nuisances in the community, and to provide mechanisms to address the problems often associated with the public consumption of alcoholic beverages such as litter, loitering, graffiti, unruly behavior, sales to minors, and escalated noise levels. So this is the history of the ordinance. After working on developing the ordinance, it was finally, well, we worked on it for about 2 years, and it was finally adopted in 2005 by the County Board of Supervisors, and it established a regulatory fee of $1,200 per outlet annually. And then in 2006, the Sheriff's Department implemented the ordinance, and just right after each outlet owner received the $1,200 invoice, there was enormous kind of uproar and pushback from the businesses, and along with a few vocal community members who weren't in support of it in the first place. So this was some of the media that came out after the $1,200 invoice came out, such as a new alcohol fee may dry up business. So it was going to be blamed for shutting down businesses. County may use tax funds to flush booze. So they were calling it a tax when it was not a tax. It was a cost recovery fee. So, but as a result of that pushback, the Board of Supervisors suspended the fee in January of 2007. And they suspended it for 1 year, actually, in order to review that fee structure. And what that meant was that there were many, many community meetings, and, you know, with both sides saying, we really, you know, we don't need this, we shouldn't do this, or, you know, the advocates saying, yes, we do, we do need this. So basically, we had to fight it all over again. And after a year, in 2007, the Board of Supervisors amended the ordinance and lowered the fee to $800 per establishment. And they also changed the RBS requirement from what it was, which required every seller and server of alcoholic beverages to attend responsible beverage service training. And they reduced that requirement to just one person from an establishment needing to attend RBS training. And then the idea was that they go back and train the other employees at each establishment. But it also, the ordinance also added fines for problems. So we also had a very strong voice and used the media to advocate strongly for the ordinance. So these are some of the news articles that came out at that time, my word columns, and then also a community members wrote letters to the editor as well. So after that year of hiatus, the ordinance again was implemented in 2008 with these new amendments. And then also a separate fund was set up by for the Sheriff's Department to receive them to receive all the revenue from the fees. And importantly, it didn't just go to the general fund. And it also, at this time, we were really, really grateful for this, that we were able to set up an implementation and an evaluation work group that would work to evaluate the progress of the ordinance. So these are the representatives that are on the implementation evaluation work group, the Sheriff's Office, the county agencies of code enforcement, county council, and the Environmental Health Agency, and our community prevention program, and our evaluator. So the Sheriff's Department has the primary role of enforcing the ordinance. They administer the fee, they conduct the responsible beverage service trainings, they oversee all the enforcement activities such as decoy operation, shoulder tap, and the inspections of all outlets on an annual basis. They actually draft the report of violations and present it to the County Board of Zoning's Adjustment. And then they present an annual report about their expenditures, the details of the violations, and enforcement of performance standards and the fund status. The other county agencies have the role of conducting the site inspections with the Sheriff's Office. For example, the code enforcement officer and environmental health officer go with the Sheriff's Office and conduct inspections that fall under their purview. County Council has the role of making the amendments to the ordinance. They also set up procedures for the fee delinquencies and collection of fees, and they make recommendations in procedure and policy. So the role of our prevention program throughout this whole process has been, we actually conducted the research on the policy language and made recommendations on what the policy should be. We advocated policy action from the perspective of public health and protecting youth. We educated and mobilized the community in order to pass the ordinance. We act as the facilitator of the implementation and evaluation work group, and we provide technical assistance for the evaluation of the ordinance. So I work closely with our evaluator and also doing the crime data analysis with the researcher. So as the ordinance was implemented, the Sheriff's Office began issuing violations violations against the ordinance. And also some outlets did not pay their annual fee. And when they started issuing the violations, it was noticed that the ordinance did not contain adequate enforcement language. So that's when County Council came back and provided new amendments for in order to better enforce the ordinance. And also, there was language put in the ordinance that said that the monies that are received from the fines and penalties are reinvested in that ordinance account, and they don't go back into the general fund account. So these next slides detail some of the progress thus far. The annual fee collection has remained pretty steady over the three-year period from 2009 through 2011. As you can see, that we're collecting interest fees and penalties are being collected. And importantly, if you look at the expenditure line, you can see that expenditures do not pay in total for the program. And the expenditures include sheriff's personnel, RBS training costs. They reimburse county council for their advice, and also the enforcement operations. So some of the progress around compliance checks. Compliance with minimum age of sale laws has increased steadily since enforcement of the ordinance began. In 2008, only 62% of the outlets passed compliance checks. The compliance rate increased 82% and 83% respectively in 2009 and 2010. And in 2011, compliance has reached 88%, which is the highest rate since tracking began. So in terms of violations, in 2010, 8 establishments were sent to a hearing before the BZA for failure to pay the annual fee of $800. And also 3 establishments were sent to the BZA for sales to minors, which included CVS Pharmacy and 2 restaurants. What we have found in implementing the ordinance, that restaurants have the same kind of compliance rates as other establishments. Oftentimes it's stated, oh no, restaurants are better, they don't sell to minors. But that's not our experience. And also the larger retailers are just as likely to sell. We've had a Safeway that had 3 violations within 3 years for sales to minors. The first fine is $750. The second offense is $1,500, and the third is $2,500. And so Safeway has received the maximum. So these are some of the challenges that we've encountered with this ordinance, that the reduction in the fee obviously doesn't cover all the costs of the program, that educating just one person from each establishment in responsible beverage service training we think is really inadequate. There was a period of time where we really did have to educate the Board of Zoning Adjustments about what the ordinance meant, but since they did receive training, they have consistently upheld all of the fines and penalties and upheld all of the Sheriff's Office's recommendations for fines and penalties. And then, very importantly, even in conducting evaluation, process evaluation of the ordinance, and then our initial crime data analysis, we have had community and agency pushback on even the results, which I'll be showing some of it to you. So it's a great challenge now at this point, is to be able to educate the community and also educate our internal stakeholders about a crime data analysis and how crimes and liquor establishments there's a connection. But there's some great benefits to the ordinance. There's been improved multi-agency collaboration and stakeholder collaboration. There's been new business relationships with the alcohol establishments that has resulted in improved understanding of the ordinance and also improved compliance with the ordinance. There have been multiple issues identified and addressed at some of the establishments. So if there's problems at an establishment, they stand out they are identified pretty rapidly, and there's action taken. There's been a reduction in window signage, graffiti, litter, and an overall improvement in the cleanliness of establishments. Several establishments have closed, either transferred their license or reopened elsewhere, not in this area of Alameda County. And so as of September 2012, there are now 132 alcohol establishments, which is down from 147 in 2006. And we think pretty significantly a great benefit to this ordinance is that we've been able to conduct some crime data analysis with Dr. Parker. And now I'm going to present some of the maps that that are some of the results of the crime data analysis. They were created by Dr. Parker, who would be in a much better position to describe the details of these to you than I am, because I'm not a researcher and I'm not a statistician. But I will provide an overview of these initial results. So this figure shows the calls for service prior to the implementation of the ordinance in 2007. The unincorporated area is inside the circle, and the red and orange areas show the highest levels for calls for service. So obviously, we would like to see the red and orange areas be reduced over time. But this is before. Okay. This figure details or maps all of the calls for service during 2008, and this was the year that enforcement of the ordinance began. And this figure shows an increase in calls for service. So here's the previous one, here's this, the first year. And with the increase in calls for service, it reflects initial enforcement efforts. And that's what we'd like to see, that when it's implemented, there are more calls for service, more enforcement is taking place. These are all calls for service during 2009. There's still a substantial amount of red and orange in this map, which indicates that enforcement efforts are continuing. The high numbers of calls for service in 2009, 2008, and I think there's something around 47,000, if I'm not mistaken, per year, is typical of what we would expect in the initial years of enforcement in the ordinance. So to go back, here's 2008 again, this is before, this is first year, second year, and then 2010, we really saw a change with a much lower amount of red area and no orange area. So this indicates that in the third year of enforcement, the ordinance is having an impact and reducing calls for service. And this is testing for all the variables that could impact the results. So currently, we're obtaining crime data for 2011. We actually have obtained that data from the Sheriff's Office, and Dr. Parker is running those analysis for the years 2011 and 2012, and we hope to continue to see this trend continue. So in conclusion, what we have learned through implementing the ordinance, passing and implementing the ordinance, that passage of the ordinance is only the first step. The implementation of the ordinance has been enormous. It requires a lot of oversight, coordination, adjustments, amendments to the ordinance, and a lot of time, because what it involves is different agencies redoing or learning new processes that they hadn't done before. Like the Sheriff's Office is not a bill collector, typically. They're not an education provider, typically. So they had to change their systems to implement this policy. Another thing that we'd like to pass on, expect resistance. Obviously, you would expect resistance from outlet owners, but we also have resistance from our own internal stakeholders. and of course, some very vocal community members. But not everybody, but it's a few vocal people who we really have to contend with. Another learning is that the evaluation implementation work group has been so very important to successful implementation. It's really helped the collaboration and the coordination of all of the different agencies involved. And all of us in this room probably know evaluation is key. We want to do this so that we can continue to build evidence of what is working in our county, but also in our field. And we probably also know fees are really important. They help cover the costs, and I can say that without this fee, we would not have the increased enforcement that we have had in our community. We would not have the kind of learnings that have taken place. So it's over time now, it's this kind of enforcement is becoming normalized in our community. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Linda. And we certainly have time for questions. So if anyone has any questions on this presentation, we'll take some after each. Okay. Yes.
Well, I was just going to ask, can you be a little bit more specific about the type of resistance from community members that you experienced? Like, certainly expect industry, business, commerce, but
The question is about the type of resistance from community members.
Well, the most recent sort of resistance has come from when we have presented the crime data analysis, showing the maps and describing the reductions in crime. There's just a disbelief. They don't understand how a crime that could take place two blocks away could be attributed to an alcohol outlet. I'd say that's the largest resistance that we're faced with right now.
Any other questions?
Actually, I have yes. One. I just was wondering with regard, since the enforcement component is so necessary, I was wondering, is there a formal process in place? I mean, is there a specific, a singular officer or first contact that oversees that in the police department?
He was just asking who oversees the enforcement in the sheriff's office. With this, they set up a process, and there's actually a technician who, along with the sheriff sergeant, they work together to identify, when the enforcement operation takes place, then the technician meets with him and drafts a report of the violation, and then she sends out the notice. There's a whole noticing procedure that has to take place, and so tracks that and then schedules with the Board of Zoning Adjustment, and they write the report together and present it.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.